There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You guys know the drill. Every single Tuesday, you kick a player off the island and you give another player immunity based on this past weekend's game. We are down now to just 9 players remaining trying to win the 2024 Commanders Survivor Award. Jaden Daniels is immune. You guys gave him immunity last week, so he is not worried today. On offense, you're voting Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, Terry McLaurin, or Sam Cosmi. On defense, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chinn, and specialist Austin Seibert still stands as the lone special teamer. One of those many players is going home. One is getting immunity.
Who the hell do you vote off? By the way, usually it's not a problem until like week 15. You know, when we're like, oh, I love McLaurin. Oh, I love John Allen. And it's a lifetime achievement award as to who's the most popular.
This could be ominous for B-Rob because the last couple of weeks, if you've been hurt, you've been eliminated. But Robinson is the favorite in sports books, not named Jaden Daniels, to win this year because he has actually gotten the most immunities. People seem to be all in on Robinson, so do they save him for a week despite not playing? Very possible. Otherwise, Chinn was great. Louvu's always very solid. Wagner's been
had
huge.
That fumble recovery, otherwise they don't stop him that first drive.
Seibert was perfect on field goals, on offense. Cosmi in the O-line mauled for 150 rushing yards without Robinson.
Ekeler was your bell cow. McLaurin, 2 tutties. I mean, so I'm probably going to vote Robinson off, which is ridiculous. But that's the fun of this thing. That like it should be this hard. You know what I mean? It should be. It should be a challenge when you're winning and everything's fun and you go like, oh, I feel guilty voting this guy off. In years past, it's like, I can't wait for next Tuesday when I can shoot this dude into the sun. I got none of those.
Forget all the other metrics. This is how you know the Commanders are officially good. And this is how you know that they're much improved. It's gotten a lot harder to vote players off the island on Grant and Danny's Commander Survivor.
That's right.
That's how you know. Are you content if this was the move that they made?
Yes.
Do you hope that they make another? Or
I do.
Are
but
you
I,
satisfied?
So in other words, if an hour from now, all reports are in, all precincts reporting using the parlance of our day, and this is the only thing that happens, fine by me. I would love another move around the edge, not giving up a ton, because that's kind of the stock that I was talking about pulling from, where you grab a fifth rounder, a sixth rounder. They're kind of that's in flux. Like they're sort of utilizing that to kind of make this move here. So I was hoping maybe for another receiver that could really be more of a true number two opposite McLaurin. That's a sweet spot. It's probably hard to find. I just don't think it's going to happen. So if I find out nothing else happens, fine by me.
So you think they would still benefit from giving up a pick for that receiver?
A late pick, but one that I don't know that's available.
But is a late pick going to get you better than Noah Brown?
Probably not, to be honest with you. Probably not. But if it happened, I'd be thrilled. But I'm betting probably not in this case.
And that's why it just hasn't made any sense to me to try to push for a wideout when every time you involve Brown, good things happen. Even Diami Brown, the second best guy named Brown on your roster, probably isn't involved enough. They never throw to him. But when they do, he gets a pass at the line of scrimmage, runs through a tackle, and gets 25 on third and a mile. picks up a first down. When they do, it's a 40-yard touchdown and he's behind everybody. I feel like there's just guys in the receiver room they don't even use. Luke McCaffrey, who still has these great metrics for getting open and things. I mean, he gets targeted about as much as you and me do.
Seriously. He's gone games at a time without it. Each time I'm going, here's the breakout, doesn't happen.
And it's not like they are a heavy wide receiver usage team. They're a heavy McLaurin usage team.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's run first, you know, run second, throw to McLaurin in the backs and the tight ends, scramble. You know, there's just not a lot of need, it seems like to me, to give up assets for another wide receiver right now.
And generally, I totally understand that. It's something, the lens that I've been looking at it as, there have been a couple of times, and the offense is great. This is not a complaint about the offense. It's me sort of forecasting. I saw it for a moment in the Bears game, a couple times in the Giants game. At some point, it's third and eight. And at some point, you're going to need somebody, not named McLaurin, to separate. And I feel like there are too many times where it's got to be a throwaway, or you know, it's or somebody's blanking it on him, or you know, one of their guys isn't getting any space, and Daniels has to kind of scramble around, ends up at a punt. Now, that mattered because their offense is so great that the next possession they're going to march down and score. But I think in these heated games, like to beat Philadelphia the second time in the cold, to win a playoff game, someone's going to have to be a third down war daddy. And I don't know that you've got one besides McLaurin. And I think they're a little too stoppable in those moments. This is you know, putting really nice rims on your luxury car. I'm not talking about something like, dude, it's broken. They're going to get it figured out. I'm not saying that at all. I'm going, for this rare circumstance in these really important games, which, by the way, it's a privilege to get to talk about, they could use one extra thing if it works out. I mean, that's as far as I'm going.
If the question is, am I satisfied? I am thrilled. So, sure. Yeah, I'm satisfied. Would I like another move? Of course. You know, do I want them to do something else? Yeah, because I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. I think they are good enough to win this season. And you go, win what? And I go, exactly.
Yep.
Anything. Name it. They can win it. Like, not realistic and not a thing. We know that they're not trying to trade this guy. But when the Max Crosby rumors came out last week, and he was supposedly going to be on the market, and it was going to take a couple firsts to get him. Yep. Steve Zabin, former longtime radio guy in D.C., I text with a good bit from time to time during these football seasons. And I think I took this from him over the years, but he used to say, you know, let's go have a season. And anytime there was like a win or you weren't a disaster or terrible, like, and it's one of my favorite things I always say to my buddies after each game, like, let's go have a season. Let's go have a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, go get Max Crosby. Let's go have a Super Bowl. But if we're not playing fantasy football and we're just being realistic, I don't know. The same thing I just kind of said to you. If they're bringing in another edge, how much better than the way Dante Fowler's playing right now is that guy? How much better than what Dorrance Armstrong's giving them, if you're not giving much up, is that guy? Because as much as I wanted edge help and pass rush over the last couple of weeks, their pass rush is getting better. Dante Fowler's getting better and better. Dorrance Armstrong's getting better and better. So corner was a huge need, and I thought edge was a little bit more of a want. Let's go to the phones and go to Vince and Akakeek on G&D. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Hey, buddy.
Real quick, it's been a long time since I, like, called in and tried to, like, actually stay on the phone and call in, because every time I called, I got nervous again because I was just so not used to us knowing what we're doing. This is amazing. rest in peace to my dad. He used to tell me all the time, if you live long enough, we'll say it again. And I used to be like, Dad, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm kind of still stunned that we are the organization that makes the right moves now, make the right trades, even are in a position to be in a bidding war with the Chiefs and the Ravens to get the corner that everybody wants. I love this move. And honestly, with everything that they talk about, you know, the brotherhood and the brotherhood being based really around competition, the only thing that I heard Grant say that I kind of hope doesn't happen when they do bump St. Juice down, because if we're being real, the liability in the secondary is St. Juice. I hope it's not down to the number two corner. Mikey's been playing well on the outside. Igbiogami, I hope I'm saying his name wrong. I probably butchered it. I think he's been playing decently in the slot. I hope we keep Lattimore on the outside, keep Mikey on the outside. And St. Juice, I mean, you the weakest link, guy. Y'all talking about Survivor Tuesday. He's got to be off my island.
Well, he's playing better players than those other guys, right? I mean, Sandra still is their best nickel corner, and I don't even think it's close. Let him play in the nickel now that you have an opportunity to, and you might have a second really good player at the position where you have Lattimore as one, and Sandra still might be another. You're comparing St. Juice taking on Zay Flowers with, just as an example, in that game. Like, who's down the depth chart below Rashad Bateman? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's who is Noah Benogany's assignment or whatever. So, yeah, I know he's a punching bag. I know everybody sees what they want to see, and he gives up completions. And look, if he ends up falling out of favor and they just roll with Igbinoghene and Sandra still, that's fine too. But I think his length and his physical, he's always right there, as evidenced by how many penalties he gets. It's not like he gets burnt or toasted all the time. He does by the shiftier, like, elite receivers.
Yeah,
that's
not a good matchup for him.
Covering those guys.
Yeah, I mean, so to me, like, I don't think he's great. And this is the thing we used to talk about all the time, where you'd have a number of guys that we got to know over the years, and people would be angry that they're not superstars. Well, if he was paid like a superstar, if this was a $28 million a year cornerback that was behaving this way, I'd be furious. I'd be as mad as you guys. But I don't blame Benjamin St. Juice for being Benjamin St. Juice, right? Like, that's who showed up. This is always who he's been. This is what, you know, I think the correct evaluation of him is fine. And that's what he is fine. If you're mad that he's not great, okay, that's totally acceptable. But I think you're right. He gets beaten up a little bit unfairly. He's had a larger role. It's like asking a number four starter or Major League Baseball to be a number one starter. Well, he's not. He's not a number one. He's not an ace, but he's the best you got. So he's been the best they've got. No longer, though.
Let's go to Disco and Laurel waiting on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, man. So you know what? I'm excited because they still, I think, have four picks in the top 100. They didn't mortgage their future. I think they have, he's still 28 years old, and I think you have a piece that you really need, and that's a shutdown corner. I don't think that, I can't remember the last one we had, maybe D'Angelo Hall. I don't know if Josh Norman was that guy for maybe
not
four
here.
Games. But, yeah, but you know what? Like you said, Grant, I'm greedy. I would love to get a D tackle, somebody to shore up that defensive line for the run game in the playoffs. I mean, a 400-pound fat guy who stops the run on his way to the quarterback. I think if we can get – because here's the other reason why I like the Lattimore move, because initially I would have said edge, but I think Dante Fowler's coming on now, and he's a guy that we thought was just going to be kind of a rotation guy, but his impact is being felt. So when you've got that pressure coming off the edge plus a Lattimore, that last piece I think is that defensive tackle in the middle. What do you think?
Amen.
Yeah, appreciate
I agree
you
with all of it.
Yeah, I mean, if it depends on what's the goal, right? Is your goal to create more havoc? Is your goal to for, you know, more pass rush? Then maybe you'd focus in. But if you're like, we want to get teams in bad spots, aka we don't want to give up 6 yards on first down carries, maybe you get a space eater in the middle, right?
It depends on their eval internally on Fowler. If he is as good as he's played in the last month, and this is actually just the connecting of the dots where he needed the opportunity, he's healthy, and this is a career year loading here, keep playing him. Keep lining him up on those pass rushing downs and let him pin his ears back. Sack against the Browns, two against the Ravens, sack against the Panthers. The only team that kept him off the sack sheet was the Bears, and he was close in that game. And then two more against the Giants, six in the last five. But I think Armstrong's rushed really well too. What I like about his point on the tackle is you're directly addressing a pretty fatal flaw, which is stopping the run.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you really want to pick nits with this team or say, when and if they get bounced from the playoffs, what's going to be their undoing? I think you could start with, can they stop the run against a team that's going to line up and try to maul them? Number one.
Philly, Detroit.
And then number two, like, it's a, how willing are they going to be to let Daniels run as much as he's probably going to have to play hero to win some games you shouldn't win? And I think when you get to the playoffs, you kind of all bets are off and go get him, kid, and knock on wood that everything is okay at the end of the game, right? But like, those are a couple of the areas, and this is one where you could throw some resources at a problem. It would need to be the same way for me, though. Like, respectfully to Mathis, who's been pretty good, Newton is the future there. Unless you think that those two guys and, let's say, a draft pick or whoever you trade for is the core, if you're going to be moving Daron Payne in the offseason or something. Because Allen's likely gone. No guaranteed money left. If they think that they could move on from Payne as well, and then bring in a guy that has like 3 years of term, kind of like Lattimore, who's in his 27, 28-year-old season, who's a run-stuffing big body, then that could fit. Mm-hmm. I would worry about a pass rush at that point from that position if you lost both Allen and Payne. Newton's the only guy of that lot in this hypothetical that could rush the quarterback beyond this season. But maybe that's where, if they wanted to, and I'm not a big proponent of this, they could go with a late-round pick and do a rental or something there just to get better at their worst area right now, which is that they haven't proven they can stop the run. Let's go to Jackson in Utah, listening on Grant and Danny on the Odyssey app, always free and available. What's up?
Fellas, I'm so fired up for this trade. You know, it feels like Lattimore is going to make everybody better on this defense. You move the other corners down the depth chart. You give the D-line more time to get to the quarterback. If these corners are locking up the receivers, I mean, this raises the team's ceiling so much higher this year and beyond. The Adam Peters handsome party just can't miss. I love that we have competent adults in the organization making the moves that we already see as fans. And, you know, Grant, I'm not sure if you remember, I met you on Radio Row in Vegas during Super Bowl week earlier this year. And after a trade like this, I am drinking all of the burgundy Kool-Aid I can. I'll be seeing you in New Orleans back on Radio Row.
Love it.
When the local football outfit is in the Super Bowl.
Let's do this thing, Jackson. Why not? I appreciate you. I do remember chatting. I believe the conversation we had was, this is the last time we got to come to one of these events when Washington's not playing. I think that's exactly what we were saying.
That's a good bit, for sure. Yeah, that's the idea, though, right? Is that having a star opens things up for everybody else, makes it easier, right? The expectations are lower. I mean, there's still a point where your other quarterbacks are going to have to cover other receivers. There's still going to be challenges. It's not as if all passes are now automatically incomplete due to some matrix-like force field that he can generate as the one. But having someone that's that good when available and healthy, it loosens things up for everybody else. You can play a little bit freer. You don't have to hesitate a step because you're worried about what that other guy might do or not do in certain cases in terms of covering for him, and you can be more aggressive.
Lattimore was so good early in his career.
Oh, yeah.
So good. If he still has that gear, and we just haven't seen it because of the injuries, they stole him. I don't know that he does. I think his ceiling now is lower than what he was early in his career. He's still definitively their best corner, and I think still one of the better corners probably in the conference, like a top 15 or 20 corner in football. But people sleep. Go back and watch anything from his rookie year. He was a all-pro as a rookie. Was the defensive rookie of the year a pro bowler and an all-pro that year? And in four of his first 5 years, he was a pro bowler. And with some health stuff, it's kind of gone sideways. But he was so, so good. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
What's up? I'm a little bit with Danny in that I would have liked to have another dynamic playmaker. One thing I've been tracking this season is that Jaden Daniels has yet to throw a touchdown to a guy who wasn't already in the end zone, which is just odd and maybe fluky, but still speaks to the lack of dynamism in some of our pass catchers. So I'm a little bit disappointed in that, but I'm not disappointed in the trade at all. I'm just disappointed it appears to be their only move.
Hey, you got 40 minutes left. Deadline at 4. If anything else happens, Chris, we're going to break it down here. We got 40 minutes still ahead of the deadline.
Well, I know you guys will. But I will say with almost 100% of Precinct's reporting, Jaden Daniels is the most handsome quarterback in the league.
Jaden's got a great smile, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, is the answer to that.
Yeah, he's just a good-looking kid.
It's charismatic, too. It's like he was at the Wizards game last night.
He was.
I don't know how much you saw because Monday Night Football. But it was hard to not think of parallels to back in the day, you know, of Griffin rolling in, the place going nuts, the pop, though, when Daniels rolls in. He's like standing up, having so much fun when some of the kids who were going back and forth at Golden State were hitting threes. Kashawn George caught fire in the second half, and Daniels is up doing the three motion kind of thing. I'm like, how much fun is this?
How about this trade just a minute ago that Tom Pelissero was breaking on NFL Network? So Marshawn Lattimore was linked to the Chiefs and the Ravens, most notably all day long, and then the Commanders about an hour before the deal went down, and clearly they sweetened the pot and got it done. And so Marshawn Lattimore has been traded to Washington. But the loser in all of that was the Ravens, who wanted cornerback help. They're trading for Tre'Davious White, former Buffalo Bill, who was a star. He got hurt. Has not quite been the same since. He was playing with the Rams most recently. But the Rams are trading the two-time Pro Bowl corner, Tre'Davious White, to the Ravens So that was the move they made as a response to missing out on Marshawn Lattimore. But I'm curious to see what the package of picks going back looks like and how that stacks up for the Ravens. Next, let's get some intel from someone who's been covering Lattimore. In fact, from the sideline. Jeff Nowak, the sideline reporter for the Saints on their radio network. How good is he at this point? How much elite ball does he have left? What kind of locker room guy is he? We'll get some of those answers on Marshawn Lattimore next. The deadline is 40 minutes away. We've got you covered on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Eagles have all three timeouts. Second down and eight. Quick throw is picked off. Marshawn Lattimore read it. And a pick six in his first game back.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. It is NFL trade deadline day. The deadline's 30 minutes away. As anything breaks, we'll pass it along to you first here on The Fan. But so far, the Commanders have made the biggest move, and we wanted to get some more insight on their newest cornerback. They needed not only a starting corner, but a corner one, and they got one in Marshawn Lattimore, a former four-time Pro Bowler with the New Orleans Saints who's coming to the nation's capital. Jeff Nowak is the sideline reporter for the Saints on their radio broadcast, and he joins us now on The Fan in D.C. Jeff, thank you so much for the time. So let's just start with how healthy is Lattimore? I know he has missed this past game, two games this season with a hamstring.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be the question, right? And, you know, there was, you know, it kind of goes back to the 2022 season because Marshawn Lattimore was remarkably healthy over the first 4 or 5 years of his career. And this all kind of started, and I know this is kind of a roundabout way to answer your question, but this all kind of bridged from an injury in 2022, kind of a freak injury, kidney injury, that took him a while to get back from. And there was some thought within the building that, hey, he should be back by now. It took him longer than we expected. And that kind of created a scenario where there's a rift between the coaching staff and Marshawn a little bit. Fast forward to 2023, there was some more ugliness. There was a high ankle sprain in week 10, never got back, finished the season, hurt, did not return. And then you kind of come to this offseason. Marshawn was kind of on the trade block. And then they kind of worked things out. You went into the season everyone was hunky-dory. Everyone said, hey, I'm committed, whatever. Then week one, hamstring injury, leaves early against the Panthers, misses week two with a hamstring injury, right? This is the same injury you've been working through. Left early in a loss to the Broncos with a hamstring injury, left early in a loss to the Chargers with the same hamstring injury, and then missed his last game with a hamstring injury. So the question becomes, how significant is this hamstring injury? And is it really more of a question of, is the motivation there to work back from the hamstring injury? And I think the Commanders being willing to make this trade and give up a decent amount, it wasn't a, you know, the Saints are just trying to ship this guy out of town, we're going to give him, you know, a bag of balls and move on, a third round pick, a fourth round pick, that's a significant return midseason. So clearly the Commanders think that this is not a hamstring injury that's going to linger. I tend to agree. I think there's a question of motivation when it comes to Marshawn. It just has not been there. You fired the coach. You know, that's all kind of a product of the same thing. So, I'm kind of fascinated to see if this hamstring injury, this hamstring issue miraculously disappears and he's healthy the rest of the way. But that's kind of been the question because he's been hurt each of the last three seasons. And you start to wonder, okay, can this guy stay healthy? So that's it's going to be interesting to find out.
Does he still have his max fastball from when he was a pro bowler, an all-pro caliber player, and one of the best in the game?
Oh, I think so. I think so. He's 28 years old, and he was playing really well. When he's been on the field this season, he's been really good. He's kind of a true outside corner. He's the guy that you know, the Saints haven't really shadowed much the last couple of years, but, you know, the matchups with Mike Evans and the Bucks were always kind of appointment viewing because he's the type of guy that you say, okay, this is their star wide receiver. He's going to follow him around the field. He's going to shut him down. And he can still do that. Now, the Saints kind of went away from that a little bit this last year. They felt good about Paulson and Debo, and they started playing sides a lot more. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best case scenario for Marshawn. He's the kind of guy that is at his best when he can really kind of lock in, sink his teeth into a matchup and frustrate that guy, take that guy away. And he's probably as good as anyone in the NFL at doing that. He's a man corner. He's a guy that you want to go to if you're just going to lock up on the outside. He's not a guy you want to throw into zone. And I think he can get lost a little bit in coverage when you don't have that kind of physical man matchup. But I haven't really seen a drop-off when he's been healthy. The problem is he's missed a lot of games over the last few years. And when you're not on the field, it doesn't matter how good you are. So, I think that it all comes down to health with him. But I do think when he is out there, he is still that kind of top five man cover corner that every team wants.
What did you and folks around the Saints make of the return from Washington for Lattimore?
I mean, I was a little surprised. I didn't expect to see that much coming back. I thought they'd probably get a third-round pick for him. I do wonder, you know, we don't really have a lot of information on how that deal went through yet. I wouldn't be surprised if it was kind of like, hey, we could either give you the Dolphins' third-rounder that's going to be a lot better, or we could give you our third-rounder and a fourth-rounder. I think the return is about as good as you could hope. When you look at some of the other trades for cornerbacks over the last few years, you're talking third, fourth round range. Like, it kind of goes in the same range as a Jalen Ramsey from the Rams to the Dolphins. So, I mean, you never want to trade away star players, but the Saints are in a situation that I think it was best for both sides to just move on. Like I said, there's been a little discomfort in terms of how he's fit in that locker room and just that locker room in general, how it kind of committed to Dennis Allen in the Dennis Allen era, which kind of came not so gracefully to an end this week. So I think generally speaking, you should be happy for the Saints with the fact that you were able to turn an asset or turn Marshawn into some asset that you can push forward at all. But all that said, you know, you look at that 2017 draft that really kind of set the Saints up for success in general over, you know, that period, the end of Drew Brees' career. All those guys are pretty much gone, right? Only Alvin Kamara is left, and Ryan Ramczyk is technically still there, but he's basically retired. So, you know, it's a frustrating moment that it got to this point. It's a frustrating idea that you had to get to this point. But when you consider that you were able to turn it into anything at all, you can't be mad about it.
So it sounds like then really needed a fresh start, at odds with the team, and basically wanted out. I mean, am I paraphrasing correctly, or is that overstated?
I mean, Marshawn kind of, it's tough to know because Marshawn does not speak much. You know, I've wondered for a while if Ohio State has like some media classes where they teach these guys to like mumble under their breath to the point that no one really even tries to talk to him, because we've had a lot of Ohio State guys come through this building over the last.
Terry McLaurin skipped those classes.
Yeah, he didn't go to that one.
Well, right. That's the weird thing is some guys aren't, but like Chris Olave, Mike Thomas, Chase Young, and you know Chase Young.
We know him very well. How's he doing, by the way?
Not very talkative. Like, they try to avoid the media by not talking at all. So it's really tough to get a good gauge on where Marshawn is. But there has been some very clear, dissension. Like, it just last year they probably felt like he could have gotten back and he didn't work back as hard as maybe he could have to get back from that ankle injury late in the year. The Saints were still in contention at that point, right? They won 4 of their final 5 games. They had a chance to make the postseason. They missed out on a tiebreaker. I think a fresh start will do Marshawn good. And, they tried to make it work. They got a lot of really good seasons out of Marshawn. He is an elite player. But I do think, this break was inevitable. And, it happened now. It could have happened in the offseason. I don't think the offers were there. I don't think the trade interest was there. I think this is probably the best option for both sides.
Yeah, you want a quote from Chase Young, I would advise not trying to catch up with him at OTAs. He will not be there. Jeff Nowak from New Orleans breaking down the Marshawn Lattimore trade here on G&D. You touched on this a little bit, Jeff. I'd love for you to go into it. Scheme, design, fit. Where does Marshawn Lattimore fit best? Because here in Washington, we have an amazing habit of taking cornerbacks that thrived in different schemes and then having them do totally different things and have it be a failure somehow. Where is he best suited? How is he best deployed?
I mean, like I said, I think he's a guy that you can just say, hey, that's their top receiver. Go take him away. Follow him around the field. Shadow him around. He's not a guy who plays in the slot. So that's what you've kind of seen, when Marshawn is at his best. You'll see teams kind of shift, their top receiver into the slot to get away from him. He's not going to follow a guy into the slot. It's entirely possible that he would be at home in the slot. We just haven't seen the Saints do it. But, no, he's going to be an outside guy. He fits best in a scheme that's going to play a lot of man-to-man on the outside, and that's what the Saints have done throughout the course of his career. I've never been particularly impressed with him when you've tried to go into zone. He's also a guy that, when there isn't that elite receiver matchup, I think that he's the type of player that really kind of locks in when he feels like there's a matchup worthy of his attention. When you go up against a team that really doesn't have that true number one receiver, I remember a game against the Giants a couple of years ago where it was like, I guess I'll cover Sterling Shepard. I guess I'll cover John Ross. And he kind of got lost in that matchup. And I think that's where he can be a little frustrating because it doesn't always feel like you're getting top end Marshawn Lattimore effort when you're not going against a Mike Evans or even like a Nico Collins last year, kind of took him for a ride. So, I don't know. It's tough, and I don't know exactly what the Commander's scheme is. The Saints are going to face it later this year, so he's going to get a chance to go against the Saints, and I'm sure he'll be circling that matchup on his calendar. But that's what it is. Like he's the type of guy that you can trust on the outside. You can put him on an island and feel like you don't have to roll help his way. And when you can do that as a defense, it opens up a ton for you in terms of what you can do with your safeties, what you can do with your linebackers. You can send a lot more pressure on the quarterback because you don't have to worry about, putting a safety over the top. So I think that's where, if you're using him correctly, that's what it is.
What kind of guy is he? We're kind of curious how he'll fit into this locker room. Sounds like maybe he and the Saints didn't love each other by the end. You guys didn't get to talk to him a whole lot, but what kind of dude is he that you've gotten to know over the years?
Yeah, he's a quiet guy, and he's interesting because there are a lot of guys you talk to and they'll say a lot, but they don't say anything. Marshawn is a guy who doesn't say much, but when he talks, he's going to tell you things. He's going to be honest. And I honestly think that's probably part of the reason he doesn't like to talk, because he's not really capable of doing the kind of coach speak thing where you talk a lot, but don't actually reveal anything. He's a competitive guy. He's a fiery guy. And he's someone who's going to kind of lead by example, right? You're not going to hear him go out there and talk about it. You're going to see him go out there and do it. And that's why when he's out there, guys kind of rally around him. And that's the frustrating thing is he hasn't been out there enough. He missed 7 games last year. He missed 10 games the year before that. He's missed multiple games this year and left early in multiple games. But that's really who he is. He's a guy who's going to lead. He's going to speak through his play more so than anything else. And, you know, I'd like to think that in an environment that feels like it's headed in the right direction, a competitive team, a team that has playoff aspirations like the Commanders do this season, I think he should thrive. And the Saints just haven't been there for him in that way over the last 3 years. And you've come to see that in that environment, he's not at his best. But I'm a big fan of Marshawn. I've enjoyed watching him play over the last 6 years. So I'm happy for him because the Saints are kind of rudderless right now. And you hate to see a guy kind of toil away in his prime on a team that is going nowhere. And that's the Saints this year. So, again, I'm hopeful that in the environment he's going to, in a competitive environment with a really exciting young quarterback and an offense that's scoring at, on 60% of their possessions. And, all the defense has to do is go out there and hold serve, and they can trust that the offense can get it done behind him. I think you're going to see the best version of him. Again, it's just a question of whether he can get healthy.
Jeff, great with us. Really appreciate it. Sorry the Saints are bad, but when we come down there, Bananas Foster at Brennan's on us, buddy. Thank you.
All right, sounds good, yo.
See you then. That is Jeff Nowak, covers the Saints on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. There was more Chase Young shtick I really wanted to do with him, but we weren't able
to
pull
it off.
We're
out of time.
There's just only so many minutes in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet he's dealing with all kinds of triple teams down there at this point.
Who's the only player ever to be double teamed?
It's very true. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get to the quarterback. He's the first guy ever to have five guys block him at once. Every play.
You've never seen that.
Very, very odd.
Is there precedent? No.
Quick double play next. I also want to react to what he just said. He still got his fastball. He called him an elite corner.
Yeah.
Said when he plays, he is still really, really good. That should get you pretty excited.
There's a little tingle.
Adam Peters and the boys cooking over in Ashburn. Grant and Danny. Trade deadline less than 20 minutes away. We will take you up to the 4 p.m. deadline on The Fan. Thank you to Jeff Nowak, who covers the Saints, for joining us on G&D just a few minutes ago. Welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. How about him saying he thinks Lattimore's still an elite corner, says he's the type of guy that you want defending wide receiver ones, gets up for the matchup, mm-hmm. let him travel, let him chirp and get in their head. I mean, his matchups over the years with Mike Evans are iconic, like the stuff of legend. Those guys, more than any players I can remember, hate each other's guts. They're quite literally being separated after every play, and they're fighting and throwing punches and getting ejected. I mean, it's crazy how those guys feel about one another. Having said that, it sounds like he's that type of player. He is I'm with you all day long. I'm going to get under your skin. I'm going to get in your head. And he wants to basically travel around with one guy. This is a pretty darn good place to come to do that, because if you can just have him take on George Pickens this week, A.J. Brown next week, you know, C.D. Lamb against Dallas twice, and then the rest of the depth chart, St. Just, maybe inside with Sanra Still, Igbinogheni, those guys can handle the rest of the receivers. It's just a different world for this defense. You get a lot better really fast.
We talk about all the time with quarterbacks making defenses go 11-on-11 with running games. Well, it's a similar advantage for the defense, if not more so, to go 10-on-10, right? Where you, in order to stop a really good wide receiver, or any wide receiver, quite frankly, you've got to roll coverages, you've got to have help short, intermediate, and deep, certain kind of coverages you have to run. If you're worried about somebody getting beat over the top, you have to have shells. And the paradigm in the NFL has changed because everybody's so sick of allowing big chunk plays. That's why you see passing totals. It's now like, I don't want to say it's rare, but it's rarer for those 300-yard passing totals. Remember a handful of years ago with Breeze and Brady and Manning and Rivers and everybody, it was like, if you didn't throw for 320 yards, did you even play quarterback today, bro? That's just different, right? Where things are more underneath. So that's because that's how coverages are. If you've got all the options on the table because you got one guy that can shove it on somebody, that is a massive strategic advantage.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. That's the number that Adam called. He's listening on the Odyssey app in Syracuse. It is free. You can take it with you wherever you go. Always listen to the show. Pause and rewind us. What's up, Adam? How are you?
I'm doing great. This news today has made me just so unbelievably happy. I'll tell you guys this. I'm up here in Syracuse going to school. I lived in Montgomery County my entire life. there's more people talking about the Commanders here in upstate New York than there ever were in my MCPS school in my 15 years growing up. It's unreal, just the excitement around this team. And I mean, with Lattimore, I had people coming up to me saying, I think you guys are Super Bowl contenders now. And these are, you know, your Eagles fans, your Steelers fans, all of that type of stuff. I mean, the nation is taking notice right now.
Well, there's a couple of areas where this team was not good. At the biggest area of concern, they just got one of the better players in the league over the last 7-8 years. It's hard not to acknowledge that at 7-2, winners of 7 of their last 8, with their only loss being a one-possession game in Baltimore, they're really, really good.
Yep.
And they added the best piece that's
at a position of deficiency, yeah.
8 minutes left in the deadline. It comes up at 4 o'clock. No one in the league, Danny, added a better player today than them. You could say the Lions are a close second, maybe, because they traded for Za'Darius Smith, who's got 5 sacks. And that fit is every bit as good.
Yeah, I was going to say, they did something similar to what Washington did. They had a vacancy now because of Hutchinson's injury. Regardless of how they got there, they needed to upgrade that spot, and they did.
5 sacks this year, 65 in his career, really, really good player. So maybe that's on par. The Lions, after the injury to Hutchinson, desperate, go get him. You give that an A+.
Mm-hmm.
But if Lattimore's healthy, and I'm going to keep saying that because I want it known, he's missed 20 of his last 60 games. If he can come play well and play and just be on the field, he's going to be the biggest impact addition added at the deadline for any team, very likely. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's the caliber we're talking about.
Speaking of the health, how about what Noack said about the hamstring? Now, he didn't know this and wouldn't be definitive. He was not declarative here. But he made it sound like this could be a Davante Adams injury. You know what that means?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell people what that means.
Well, it hurts in one city, but it's fine in a different city.
You leave.
Phantom injuries.
Yeah. It's that James Harden, I'm fat and out of shape. I'm like putting my sweatshirt under my jersey. Look at me, I can't play. And then you're on a different team the next night, and all of a sudden you're skinny again.
Is that what happened to all your body fat, dude? It just melted away. You change time zones and it works.
I hope that's the case. We don't really know. But his point is, there's been question about, yeah, he probably had something nagging. He had something annoying going on with the hamstring. But is it just a, I don't like you, you don't like me, get me out of here hamstring? Or is it really a hamstring injury? Deadline's about 6 minutes out. So far, biggest move right here in D.C. All eyes of the NFL on the 7-2 Commanders. Just the way it's always been.
You know, normal stuff.
Marshawn Lattimore to Washington, a 3rd, a 4th, and a 6th. Lattimore and a 5th coming back. Mike Williams of the Jets to the Steelers. It sounds like he's been wanting out since Aaron Rodgers just threw him under the bus.
Yeah, as soon as Adams came, that was nail in the coffin.
Well, that was the day before Adams came.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, so that was the, we're headed downhill because you didn't have a great relationship there and there was some struggle. Then Adams showed up. Then the bus backing up. It was okay. He's going to move.
How about the Cowboys giving up a 4th-round pick for Jonathan Mingo?
I want to say, keep doing what you're doing.
I want to talk about that.
I love it.
At the start of next hour. The Lions get Za'Darius Smith. Khalil Herbert, the running back, goes to the Bengals. And we are now 5 minutes out. So as soon as we return, we will get you the details on any final minute moves here at the deadline. 4 p.m. East is when you can no longer make trades. Used to be Halloween. They pushed this back a week. But what a difference a year makes. Last year, Washington is tanking, sell mode, free falling like a cinder block to the bottom of the sea. This year, they're buyers, and they go get Lattimore. It's a Tuesday, Commander Survivor. Go vote, facebook.com/Grant and Danny. We've got Austin Eckler on the show at 5 o'clock, and we are giving away tickets to see Iron Maiden in Baltimore as soon as we return on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.